Yud Ches Adar, Monday the 5th of March, Dayan David Kahn, rent deposits in schemes.
Good morning, having come late, I'll just start off with a clip that happened in Eretz Yisrael. When somebody was hooting, and the policeman said, Savlanut, Savlanut. He says, Savlanut yeshli, aber zman enli. So I'm waiting here, trying to get michutz lamachane all the way from Hendon as you come. Just you drop off the end of the world and you get to Hendon, and Monday morning traffic, there's nothing you can do without, you just have to wait its time. Let me just start off. This is a shaila that comes up a lot. And it's important to air this one, and give hopefully, Be'ez Hashem, that to discuss it together and get the right bearings using the Torah compass of how to approach the situation. What is the situation? What is the title referring to? If you're a tenant, or you're a landlord, you'll know that there is a scheme by which the tenant will give a deposit, as always has been customary, that the tenant leaves a deposit at the beginning of his tenancy agreement for any damage, any bills outstanding, any even rental, any rents that haven't been paid until now. What's been until now? The landlord takes the money, and then called Alim Gvar, he's got the money, so he can make a decision as to how much money he gives you back at the end if you're the tenant. That was regarded as being unsatisfactory, because then the tenant has got to chase the landlord for the rent. On the other hand, the landlord, if you've been a landlord, you'll know that you'll receive your property back and find this is broken, this isn't working, this has been damaged, etc., etc., and therefore you need some recourse to be able to claim back damages that have been done by the tenant that haven't been owned up to. So what if the government invented a scheme, which is where the deposit is paid into the scheme, it's a government scheme, and it's only released when both the tenant, of course, who's going to ask for his deposit back at the end of the rental agreement as he leaves, and the landlord has to also sign it off that he has no further claims and he agrees to release the deposit. Now the question is, when this happens and the tenant wants his deposit back, then the question is, if the landlord turns around and says, excuse me, but you've deposited £2,000, I've got a claim for some of it, or all of it, or whatever it is. So now the question is that mutter, is that permissible? There's a din that, Eilem ve'eilam mishpotim asher tosim lifnehem, lifnehem v'lo lifnei akum. And therefore, what will happen then is, where there's a dispute, if both parties sign off, then fine, the money is returned by the scheme to the tenant. If the tenant signs, but the landlord doesn't sign, then the scheme will turn to the landlord and say, what's your complaint? And in principle, it'll land up as a tribunal with them and will be adjudicated by them, and then they will dish out what, of the £2,000, what they think is fairly goes to the landlord, and the residue will be given back to the tenant. The question is, what do you do as a tenant? What do you do when you would like your rent back because you're leaving, and the landlord isn't prepared to sign the form, so that the tenant... What is the procedure? What do you do with such a thing? What happens? So the thing is like this. The tenant himself... There's no reason why the tenant shouldn't knock on the door, metaphorically, at the scheme's door and say, please could I have my rent back? But then you have a situation that then, what does the landlord do? This is the landlord's only opportunity to put in his claim for whatever it might be. Yet, we're going to say, excuse me, dear landlord, but if you do that, basically, this is going to some form of court. So what do you do? By the way, a similar situation you have, it's very similar, and we've talked about this before. What happens if your neighbours put in planning permission and you feel, and the council sends you a letter saying, if you have any objections, this is the proposed drawing, this is the proposed etc. Look at it, you can see the drawings online, etc. Have a look at it, and if you have any comments, complaints, suggestions, please forward them to us within 14 days. And then again the question is, who's going to adjudicate between you and your neighbour whether his planning application is going to be accepted or totally, partially, or not at all? So again, you've got this question. Sorry? Of course, we're talking about they're both Eden. Otherwise, there's no problem with Asher Tosim Lifneim if one of them, and similarly, when I'm talking about the tenants and the landlords, Ein Tzorach Lomar, but thanks for mentioning it, just in case somebody didn't realize that we're talking about two Eden. Certainly. So the thing is like this. Interestingly enough, the tenant, let's go back to the case that we started with. The tenant is allowed to request his deposits. There's no issue there. But then the landlord is in a situation where he can't respond. Because if he responds and he's got complaints, it basically, that should be done in Beis Din. And therefore, the correct thing to do in such a case, where the tenant says to the landlord, please would you sign this form so that I can retrieve the £2,000 deposit which is in the scheme. If the landlord says, excuse me, but I've got a claim against you for this, that, or the other, so then the tenant should say to the landlord, fine, if you've got a claim against me, you need to take me to Beis Din. And that's in principle, and if that's what happens, they go to Beis Din together, and I really must say, I keep having this in Beis Din, that people think that coming to Beis Din is a threat. If you don't do what I say, I'll take you to Beis Din. But it isn't. Beis Din is a place for two different opinions, two different viewpoints, two different decisions as what should be, are adjudicated according to halacha. And I keep telling Bali Din in this, that Reuven and Shimon, Reuven, you don't want Shimon's money. Shimon, you don't want to have Reuven's money. Of course you don't. You're honest people. Only thing is that you see things differently. So you come along, and Beis Din is a place for Shalom. Beis Din is a place to have things adjudicated correctly, fairly, according to the decisions of Din Torah. That's what it is. And therefore, that's what the tenants should say. Let's go to Beis Din together. And let's have the matter decided. Let's decide it fairly, and let's sort it out. If the landlord doesn't want to do that, he'd rather drag his feet, because he can play for time, because it's not his money. So the tenant is the one who's out of pocket. The landlord has a claim, but maybe he thinks he'll soften the tenant up, which is what happens, and he'll drag his feet until the tenant is desperate, in which case he's got a much better bargaining position. That is, of course, unacceptable. And therefore, what the tenant should do in such a case is that he should go to Beis Din and say to Beis Din, I've spoken to the landlord, doesn't seem willing to come to Beis Din, and therefore, please would you issue him a summons to come to Beis Din. Fascinatingly enough, in this Din Torah, the landlord will be the Tovea, not the Nitva. Although the landlord is being, in this case, he is being summoned to Beis Din by the tenants, the claimant is, of course, the landlord. So basically, what the Beis Din will say to the landlord in such a case is, we're summoning you to Beis Din because we've been told that you've got a claim against the tenant's deposit, or generally against the tenant, and we give you 14 days to respond. If you respond to Beis Din, you come along to Beis Din, or you say you want to go to another Beis Din, whatever it is, however it's been decided, but in principle, the tenant can decide which Beis Din, because the tenant is the Nitva, that's why it's so important to decide who is the Tovea and who's the Nitva. In such a case, if within 14 days he doesn't respond, Beis Din will send a letter and say, we're hereby notifying you that we're giving permission to the Socher, to the tenant, to hand in his form signed only by him, and then the result will be that the tribunal of the scheme will send the landlord a letter and say to him, if you were about, we would like to release it, please tell us or we invite you to come along and tell us what it is. The Beis Din will say to him, the din still applies, that you shouldn't be telling the scheme what your problems are, what your claim is against the tenant in the first place. In the first place, you should be coming to Beis Din to sort it out. If the landlord still takes no notice, then the tenant is allowed to go to the scheme and ask for his money. That's not going to Erkois, he's asking for his money. And then what happens after that is, the landlord responds, he's the one who's gone to Erkois. And then the tenant is allowed to defend his case in the scheme's tribunal, and that's something which is, in that case, that would be perfectly all right. Very interesting, though. The dinim that I mentioned is like this. Somebody might come along and say, but excuse me, since both the tenants and the landlord have signed up to the agreement, and the agreement includes abiding by the dinim de machusa, which is that the deposit has to be put in the scheme, so when the tenant gives the deposit to the landlord is obliged to put the money in the scheme. Therefore, you might say, maybe there's a mutual agreement between them to have the case heard in the scheme's tribunal, in the scheme's arbitrating facility. Right. Now, does this work? So Shulchan Aruch, apart from Shulchan Aruch saying, Osel Adun Bifnei Dayone Akum, Uber Kois Shelohem, in Chesh Mishpot Simen Chof Vov Sif Aleph, Afilu Bedin Shedonim Bedine Yisrael, even if the outcomes would be exactly the same. They're using exactly the same barometers as Din Torah would. Va'afilu nisratzu shnei bali dinim lodun bifneihem. Even if they both agree, osa, it's forbidden. Similarly, in Sif Gimel there, hamakabel elov bekinyan, somebody who agrees and accepts bekinyan lodunim chaveiro lifnei akum, Ein klum, it's nothing at all, the osul dun bifnehem. Shtar shekosav, even if there's a shtar shekosav that says in it, sheyucha letoivoi bedinei ho'akum, ein rishoy letoivoi bifnehem. And therefore, these three sifim lay out quite clearly that the landlord has no excuse for not turning up in Beis Din. The landlord's excuse might be to say, excuse me, if I go to Beis Din, I'm going to have to pay. I'm going to have to pay, both parties have to pay the Beis Din fee. If I go to the scheme, it's free. It's free. So why shouldn't I allow it? Also, if he has a Talmud Chacham who's going to come and try and support his case, he'll quote that in Simon Gimel, there's a Hagos of Ruki Vega in Simon Gimel, and right at the beginning of Simon Gimel, and Rukiv Eger brings the following. He says, Nichtav Betzidoi, it says in Chedushe Rukiv Eger, which is Hagos on the Shulchan Aruch, he says, Nichtav Betzidoi, B'shut Mogin Giboirim, B'shem Harashach, the following. Al Machlokes, there was a dispute, Bein Tevea Lenitva, between the claimant and the defendant, Echodoi Meshavitzoinoi Listayin B'beisad B'din Torah. One says, I would like to have the case decided according to Din Torah in a Beis Din, ve'echodoymer, and the other one says, no, she'ein li, or ein loy, I think it should be, lizdayin, elo bifnei acherim. It should be done by others, i.e. by a secular body. She'kachu haminug b'mokum she'nase ho'esek. That is common custom and common practice in the place of our business. Says the Rashach, he says, Hadin Imoy. The Nitva is allowed to say, I would like to have the case heard by a body that decides, adjudicates these things. Why? Says the Rashach, Kiven de Bamokim Shenase Hoesek, since in the place that the business was done, so in whatever it is, in England, where normal acceptance of arrangements between tenants and landlords, yesh minag listayin kefi derech hasochrim, they make arrangements according to the way of the merchants, v'loy kefi din Torah. And The answer to that is Minug Mevatel Halacha. You see, how am I going to apply this? On the one hand, we've seen stringent, very, very firm rules, and laying down so much so that Shulchan Aruch continues in Siman Chovav, he says, V'chol abo lo dun bifneyen, harizeh rosho ukiilu chireif v'gideif v'heirim yad b'toyos meishu rabbeinu olav ha-shalom. You can't get more than that, right? Yet, Rav Akiva Eiger is agreeing to this Shut Mogin Geboirim, B'shem HaRashach, and the Mogin Geboirim is agreeing to this as well, that if there is a norm that you go to a certain body, whether it's the Diamond Bourse, there's also a famous adjudicating body, an internal adjudicating body over there, or whether it is possibly someone will tie into this scheme. So maybe you say this scheme is also set up to adjudicate cases of specifically others. So I asked two of the senior dayanim in Eretz Yisrael from Rav Nissim Kovelitzer's based in, and they both gave me, asked them separately, one and then Shlevi Fnei Zeh, and they both gave me the same answer. How do we reconcile Shulchan Aruch, which is an explicit Gemara in Gittin, Daf Peches on the base, and this tshuva, how do we understand it? When do we say that you're allowed to go to a specifically set up body for adjudicating and deciding things? And when do you say, Heirim Yodei, B'Teres Moshe Rabbeinu? So they both told me and said the following. If all they're using is Shikul Hadas, all they're using is they're listening to what both parties have to say, and they decide on something that seems reasonable, amicable, equitable, fair, that they decide, make a decision on this, what seems correct to them, but it doesn't involve any dinim at all, any laws, then that's perfectly mutter. So if there's an arrangement, or if they have internal rules, they make internal rules, and I must check this up, what actually happens in the Diamond Bourse, how, on the premise of what these things are decided, but if they're decided purely on Shikul Hadas, what seemed to be fair, by mumchim. Why are they mumchim? Why are they experts? Because they profoundly understand what's involved in this line of business, which you can sometimes have a situation where you absolutely need senior legal people or people who are well-versed in the stock market and the rules and whatever it is it might be. So all they're using is they're using a knowledge of the holoch yelech of this area of commerce, and then they're using their shikul hadas, what seems to be fair, without using any laws, any rules, any laws that you can say these are secular laws, but they may be just agreement. They may be a set of rules that have been mutually agreed by members of that association, for example. If that's all they're using, then it's mutter. But if they're using law, they're using English law, then the din is that one has to, in the first place, as two Jews, one has to prefer, in the first place, Torah. So it's the Torah law. One has to go first to din Torah first and sort things out. Only if one party is not prepared to go and Beis Din will give a heter kois, in that case, only then would it be mutter. And therefore, back to our case, if this scheme is purely listening to what seems fair, what seems reasonable, whether that's a reasonable claim of the landlord because of a broken this or that or the other, or the broken this or that or the other was claimed to be wear and tear and it just broke of its own accord. If to them that seems reasonable, that's the only thing they are making and a judgment and assessment about, then that case, that would be mutter. But in a case where there would be areas of law that would be applied, then one has to take this case to Beis Din. And I will say that in Beis Din, the areas that are actually part of what is commonly mutually accepted by both parties will be included, must be included, in the Din Torah itself. It's because what is mentioned over here, that Minig Mevatel Halacha, is there may be, for example, let me give you an example, an unfair dismissal. redundancy payments. All these things generally do not apply according to strict Din Torah. Because once he's finished a particular job, it's finished. The concept of redundancy pay, where a job has been finished, in halacha only if you're in the middle of the job, so then you've got to be allowed to finish it. But if you've finished, only that now you're made redundant, if you have been what's considered unfairly dismissed, it may be very unfair and you've got tarumas, but actual financial claim you don't have in Din Torah. However, every employee has those rights, and in any Western country where that is the law of the land, for the simple reason that since the employer could or would or actually does employ non-Jewish employees, because this employee is somebody who was available, so to speak, on the open market and would be employed by a non-Jewish employer, therefore, the unspoken agreement and understanding of between two Yidden who employ one another is that it is according to that that his rights are rights of employment, and therefore he's got all the unfair dismissal rights, he's got all the redundancy rights and everything else he's got, and that is something that we in Beis Din apply absolutely with knowledge of the rules of ACAS and everything else, and we will speak to ACAS and ask them in the, whether it's the helpline or the tribunal, we'll ask them that what do they mean by the law, etc., etc. Only when there's a Shikul Hadas element, which there is, that Shikul Hadas element, we will apply Din Torah in as much as it is relevant, and Shikul Hadas for the rest of it. And therefore, this is the way to balance the two between the Rav Kiva Eiger that he brings, B'Shem, the Rashach, and the straight Din in Shulchan Aruch, is that if they are applying English law, then one's got to prefer and go to a Beis Din to hear and to have the case adjudicated according to Din Torah. If it's according to the Minhag HaMokum, purely a Minhag which has been accepted, then they could adjudicate that. Having said which, the Beis Din should be doing the same. And whether it's disputes amongst diamond merchants, whether it's a case of tenants and landlords, clearly, whatever is an agreement, even if it's an unspoken agreement, but it's common rights, one to the other to the one, that will be applied in Din Torah as well, and therefore, in the first place, certainly bring it to a Din Torah, and in a case where there would be no charge, I would suggest that the Beis Din is sensitive towards that, and doesn't increase the nisayon to make them be able to go for nothing to these schemes, and should go in the first place to Din Torah. But strictly speaking, in such a case, one cannot have complaints if the situation is. As far as I know, and I'd be very interested in information for this, as far as I know, these schemes will apply a certain degree of English law, and therefore, one should definitely go to Beis Din. The landlord certainly has no right to drag his feet, and must comply with Beis Din's request to come and have his case heard, and if not, then the tenant will be given certainly the permission to go and request his money back from the scheme and ultimately end up defending, not claiming, defending his right to ask for his deposit back from the scheme, and in which case that hopefully Be'ez Hashem is the same thing. Exactly the same thing applies to when it comes to planning permission. The correct thing to do, if you want to put in a planning application into the you want to apply to build, in such a case, the correct thing to do is to ask your neighbor, your Yiddish neighbor, first, before you put in the planning application, and ask him if he's got any objections to what you intend to do. Show him the drawings, and if he has an objection, go together to Beis Din before you put in the planning application. But if you put in the planning application first, and he lands up with a letter, giving him 14 days from when the letter was written, so he's probably got about 12 days left the time he gets it, and then he's faced with a situation that he's got to call you to Beis Din, and then maybe the Beis Din cannot manage to hear the case in time, then you're left in a situation which is impossible, in which case you, the neighbour, can say, look, excuse me, you're the one who's gone terakois. What I suggest is you take your application, withdraw it, and let's go to Basin together. But if you don't, then I'm going to have to consult a senior dean, and I'm going to consult him and ask him whether I have the right to object, as I think I do. So are my objections correct in halacha? If my objections are correct in halacha, then again, you, the neighbor, are the defendant in erkos. Not, you're not the claimant, you're the defendant. But you've got to make sure that your complaints are complaints that have a basis in halacha. And in that case, you have to say to your neighbor, why do we get to Beis Din in time? Or I have to be able to preserve my position and preserve my rights. Or you can take your planning application out, withdraw it, until such time as that we can have our case sorted out between us, and then we can take it from there. Hopefully that gives us...